This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm Patricia W. Fisher, and I'm here talking to you today about a brand new author. But before we get started with her, I just wanted to say we're wrapping up May, and May is Foster Care Awareness Month. So if you've ever thought about fostering a child, foster adopt a child, or simply reaching out to help those in your community, please reach out to any local child advocacy groups, or there's also national groups like Together We Rise. They are fabulous in helping people understand the foster care adoption process and helping kids find those forever families. So please reach out. But today we're talking to a brand new author, which I'm super excited about because I have seen her at the very beginning of her career, just showing up at the very first writers group, and now here she is with her very first book. So, Storm Navarro is a paranormal romance author, part of the writing team of R.C. Alvarez. She has a book out with Jolie de la Cruz titled Unchained Desires. Her family is made up of two awesome parents, three crazy siblings, five weird dogs, and a buzzer that never seems to leave the yard. Their support over the years has led her to finishing her manuscripts, powering through edits, and even signing with Entangled Publishing. You can find her at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Goodreads. All the links are in the write-up of the show today. So welcome, Miss Storm Navarro. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So let's kind of go back a little bit. And were you always a reader and writer, or did that come later?
Oh, yeah. I've always been a really huge reader, especially when I was, like, really little. I remember getting into the Magic Tree House chapter books when I was in elementary school. And
right,
the dog. And
I told you the dog would start barking.
Yeah, I know. That's great. I have two dogs sleeping behind me, so I feel you. But then I guess when I got into middle school, I started writing my own short stories and like little things for essays and stuff, and it just took off from there.
So, what was the catalyst that made you want to start writing your own?
I think I remember reading these books by James Patterson, the Maximum Ride books about the girls with wings.
Okay.
And I wanted to write my own, like, because I was in middle school and I wanted to write about a girl with wings, but it was an angel girl. And I started writing that in a notebook with a pen, and it was horrible, but I was 13. And then, you know, it kind of, now I have actual angels, a book, you know, coming out with angels in it.
Right. So, I mean, it all starts somewhere. I talk to so many parents and just people in general that say, you know, I've always thought of them, like, then do it. You know, go.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And your parents are super supportive of that creative outlet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My mom's a writer. She's a published author. She has about 10 books out. It's amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I mean, she's just really done a beautiful job as well.
Yeah.
I think that it's important to give yourself that creative outlet, kind of that, you know, maybe it's something no one ever reads, but
right,
it's still important to escape reality, because reality is crazy and weird. But sometimes I think it's nice to move over and just kind of let, you know, fiction take over. So what?
Yeah, definitely.
So what made you come up with the, first let's back up. So tell me about your new book and then tell me where you came up with the idea of it.
Okay. So my book, Unchained Desire, is about a fallen angel that's chained to a demon queen for over 100 years. And he's given up on everything, on God, on his brothers, on his sisters, on humanity. And he only ever has like a few days to himself ever to like replenish his power by drinking blood. And one of those times he ends up meeting this really innocent woman named Kyra. And of course, she thinks she's human. Turns out she's actually a Nephilim. So she is introduced into this paranormal world that she never knew existed. And it gets crazy. I have to fight demons and stuff and save her dad. And the idea
and
for
he
that
ends up
story,
being her father?
He ends up being her father? No.
Okay.
He ends
no.
up saving
okay.
her father.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fabulous.
Yeah. That's a whole other kind of story.
I was like, okay. But
no.
So you, it's one of those moments that in, you sit there and go, oh, okay, sure. I understand the underlying theme of, you know, someone who's disgruntled and the world is
mm-hmm.
terrible and I've given up on everything. But how did you come up with it being in this setting?
That, I don't know. I think I've always been drawn to the kind of like mythology of angels and demons and the battle between good and evil.
Sure.
And, you know, easily personified with angels and demons because, you know, but there's also the question of who really is good and who is bad, and there's these gray areas, so, like, angels aren't always good. So I've got fallen angels who've done really bad things, but they're looking for redemption, or maybe they don't think they deserve it. And so Ramiel was just this character that I had an idea of just some guy walking around with chains and tattoos and scars and people looking at him and being scared of him, but deep inside he just wants, you know, to be, you know, he wants peace and quiet and to be left alone and no bad things to happen to him anymore.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would think that would be an underlying theme a lot of people could really relate to.
Right. Yeah.
And so how long did it take you to go from, you know, I think I want to write this to like actually sitting down and finishing your first crappy first draft?
Right. Oh gosh. Okay. So the truth is, Ramiel was a character idea that I wrote a scene with him when I was 16 in high school. And now I'm 26, so it's been 10 years, and the book is finally out. It came out on Memorial Day, actually. So it's definitely the first rough draft. I think I finished completely in the beginning of college. So
okay.
It was just like a, you know, as a teenager, I was kind of like, you know, wishy-washy. I was like, oh, I'm going to start this. And then I left it alone for 6 months. And then when I was in college, I got really busy. So I left it alone again for another 6 months. So it was a really long process for me and Jolie to finish. But in the end, we're really satisfied. So the rough draft was really, really rough. But, you know, we ended up with a product that
think,
we're really,
you know,
proud of.
We always talk about this is just finish it. You know, and it's going to be terrible,
right.
And it's
going to
be awful.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You could fix what's done.
Exactly. And it's so easy to make excuses for yourself to not do it. Like, oh, I'm too busy. Oh, my job takes priority because it pays the bills and stuff like that. My friends need me. My family needs me, which are all very important things. But if writing is truly and really your passion and something that you want to do with the rest of your life, then you have to find the time to make for it, like on the weekends or the lunch hour, or, you know, stay up late if you really have to.
Right. And I mean, even if it's just 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, progress is progress.
Mm-hmm.
And how many rewrites do you think you went through?
Oh gosh.
And I bring all this up, not, you know, not
no,
to,
no, no,
like,
totally,
you know, put
yeah.
you in the corner, but you know why. Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's always good to, like, because there's people out there listening or, you know, tuning in that might be like, oh, I want to be a writer. How long is it? You know, honestly, like, we don't know. If you're new, you just don't know how sometimes it takes you forever to rewrite and rewrite. Like, sometimes it takes, like, for me, I think it was, 5-6 times that we completely, maybe more, had to go through and do revisions, like so many drafts. And we took out scenes, we added scenes, we completely changed. Like, at one point we had way too many characters, I think, and we just replaced the extra characters with just, you know, demons, like basic bad guys, thugs. Instead of giving, you know, each character a name and a personality, we just, you know, it's easier to just simplify things sometimes.
Right, right. And then taking those characters saying, okay, you're not in the right story. We're going to put you over here for a little while.
Right, exactly.
And
yeah,
you'll be back somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You sit over there in the corner for a little bit. We'll get back to you later. And I think that's hard, especially when you're writing that first story, that first book that you really want to finish it.
Oh,
you have proved yourself you can, and you've got 5,000 characters in it. And it's hard. What do you think has been the most helpful for you getting your book done? Like, what tools or people or, you know, what do you think has been the most helpful?
Honestly, I think the most helpful thing for me to actually getting the book done was plotting it. Like, sitting down and doing, like, when I met, I went to the West Texas Writing Academy, and that's my Alex Sokoloff, and she had the plotting class. I took the storyboard, and me and Julie plotted the entire story and, like, what climaxes we would have and what, you know, which story element would go where and what it would be exactly. And when I had those in my mind, like, this is what would happen next, I was able to actually finish it and know that this, you know, what this story was going to be and who these characters really were.
What was your biggest surprise when you plotted it?
That's a good question. The biggest surprise, I think, was one of the characters, Bishop. He's a secondary character. And Bishop really surprised me because he wasn't in the original story, like when we first wrote the manuscript. But we needed kind of like this, a little bit of an insider who, for the rest of the series, who kind of knows what is going to be going on the overall art, like the world storyline. And he's insane, so he has a lot of omniscient knowledge in his head, but he doesn't always make sense, and he's kind of unreliable. His information is very vague, is what I guess I would say, and cryptic.
Sure.
So he was a surprise, but it's kind of fun writing him because, you know, you get to be a little crazy and say weird things.
Right. And you're thinking in your head, this will make sense later.
Right.
You will get
exactly.
So you mentioned the West Texas Writers workshops. Tell me more about those, because I don't know if a lot of people know about them, but... And they are incredibly fabulous and insightful.
Yes, it is this amazing program every June, I think the beginning of June every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they have different classes you can register for. And so each day in the week you would go to that class. And I think for 6 hours you do with, like, well, there's one class where you, like the one I mentioned, where you plot your book. My mom actually helps do that, and she's an instructor now at the West Texas Writers Academy, and she helps authors flesh out their plot and brainstorm ideas for their book. There's other, like, I can't remember his name, but he's a cop or a former cop.
Yes.
And he does a class on procedures.
Shirley,
you know,
Matt Shirley.
Yes, Matt Shirley. He's amazing.
Yeah.
No, he has an amazing insight, and he also knows, like, how to incorporate certain aspects of the job with a story and with a character and how it can help with character development and themes in your book, which is amazing. There's other classes that help you with craft, like, and straight up just tools that you can use for making a scene better and tighter.
Right. And it's interesting because I think that a lot of times as writers, you know, it's rather solitary, and there's this idea that, well, no, I know what I want to write. But I think that if we look at our stuff too much, we can't really get another perspective of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's very important to get that sense of community and, like, other people. Especially, that's what I love, the organization that we're part of, the SARA, San Antonio Romance Authors. It's just since I was 17 going to, or 18, going to these meetings, talking to you guys and listening to you talk about your stories. It not only inspires, but just kind of like gives you that really strong motivation to keep going, and because they believe in you. And if, you know, other people believe in you, then you end up believing in yourself. It's just really cool.
For sure.
Watching everybody work.
And I think, too, you know, years ago, you know, Lisa Kudrow's on Friends, and she thought about becoming an actress at one time. And she's like, well, I mean, I don't know anybody who actually makes it, you know. And her brother is friends with John Lovitz, who's a comedian. And she's like, oh, well, I guess people do make it, you know. And she's,
was
around people who... like-minded. So it's the same kind of thing. So if you're at all interested, if, when you're listening, West Texas Writers Academy is June 10th through the 14th. It is absolutely worth it to go. So if you have the opportunity, so just look up West Texas Writers Academy and it will pull up all the information. They also have a Facebook page and it is West Texas Writers Academy. Yep, that's what it is. So, but give them a shout out. So you've got your first book now. What is next?
Yes. Next, let's see. I'm in school right now. Actually, no, I just finished the semester. But I will have a week in the end of June where I will be going on campus. We do that twice every year to, like, hang out with the other students and talk to our instructors. It's a program for writing popular fiction. So I'm getting my master's in writing popular fiction.
Okay.
And my thesis actually is another paranormal romance. It's not with the same series, so it's not Angels and Demons, but that's what I'm currently doing, is working on that story for school. But we are also, me and Jolie De La Cruz are working on the second book for the Unchained Desire, the Rapture series. So that's exciting.
And this will be, and is that... you know, a character that you introduced in the first book and that'll thread through?
Yes. Okay, it's going to be...
Okay.
Well, so we're doing the synopsis and we're going to submit, you know, send that to our editor and see if that's the story that will be next for sure before we start working on it officially. So we're just kind of, you know, plotting it out and fleshing out the story elements and how things are going to go for Eli. He's definitely one of the characters that you meet in Unchained Desire.
Right. Well, and I'm looking at your Goodreads stuff, and people are pretty excited about your book. It's exciting stuff to get that kind of feedback. What has been the biggest shocker of all of that so far? I mean, I know your book's only been out like less than a week, but I mean, what has been the thing that surprised you the most?
About people's reaction?
Uh-huh.
It would have to be, honestly, just, I guess, I think we all kind of are really super insecure when we put our art out there for others to see and review. I guess my deepest, darkest doubts would be, like, nobody would like it, or that, you know, everyone would just kind of find it, you know, meh, like, it's okay. But there's people that are, like, putting exclamation points. Like, I really love this. And, like, I can't wait. That, I think, my favorite part is when people say, I can't wait for the next one. I want to see the second book. And that's what really, like, I love it. Like, oh, I got to get writing. I got to get the second book out there.
Yes. Let's hurry. Let's do it. So, so you're writing paranormal for your thesis. So then you're writing the second book, or coming up with the ideas for the second book.
Yes.
What genre, you know, you're tackling paranormal now, but what other genres would you like to tackle for your writing?
Wow, that's a really good question. Because I've always loved fantasy. I think I'm too afraid to dive into that. Not that I think I'm not capable, but that I would really want to put, if I'm going to write a fantasy book, I would want to dedicate all of my energy into it to, like, do a fantasy story justice. Like, I would want my fantasy to be one of the, you know, to be up there, because I really love Tolkien. The Hobbit is one of my favorite books. Chronicles of Narnia, I loved those series since I was a kid. So it's really something that is very, very important to me, and I would, and so I'm interested in doing fantasy someday.
Right. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I'm sure someone's like, well, what would be the difference? And I mean, paranormal, you do
right.
the world build, but fantasy, man, everything is new. Everything is different.
Yeah.
And that common thread has to pull through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And readers will call you out. That's, I think,
definitely.
The scary thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They will say, that's not what was going on in book two, you know, and it's book seven. You're like,
exactly,
you're right. So tell
One
me what keeps you motivated.
Fears.
Yes. So tell me what keeps you motivated when you're like, you're sitting there looking at these edits going, I have no idea how I'm going to fix this. What keeps you motivated?
Honestly, I think my friends that know that I'm writing and I show them bits of it, you know, asking them for advice, they tell me to keep doing it. Jolie has been a great source of motivation. I think without each other, we would have given up a long time ago. I think that's where that sense of what we talked about earlier about the community thing, like having people, like-minded people and people who understand the struggle. Because I think if I was alone, completely alone, I would have stopped at like chapter 10.
Yeah, and I think we all do that. It's like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why?
No, yeah, and it's because exactly. It's not because I don't like the story I'm writing or that I don't enjoy it. It's just it's a sense of I don't know what I'm doing, so why bother? And it can get pretty strong at times, but, you know, that's why we need people.
Yeah. Yeah, we need people around us to tell us to keep going, for sure. So your cover is gorgeous. It's not even just the guy on it, but all of it. I mean, the coloring and even the fonts and everything. How much, and I ask this, you know, for people listening about writers getting input on different things, how much input did you get to have on the cover?
That's really, okay, so I've been curious about that too, because we did get, before they outsourced cover, to an artist, they gave us this really long kind of, you know, fill this out. And it asked us things like our favorite covers, our favorite books that we've read, ideas. Like, they asked us to describe our main characters in like, a lot of detail. And they asked us to send them images of covers that we really liked, like how we pictured ours to kind of be similar to. We chose a lot of other paranormal romance covers that we really love. And I think they asked for Pinterest boards too. So like we had created Pinterest boards for like aesthetics of our characters and we sent those to them. And I do feel like they pretty much captured, because the cover is not what I imagined, but the vibe of it is the level of what I like more than what I wanted. Like, it's amazing and it's beautiful and I really love it. Like, I screamed when I first saw it. It's kind of embarrassing, but I did.
Well, but it's huge because the first thing people are going to see is your cover. And, you know,
right,
if you're
sitting
there looking at it going, oh, you know, readers
right,
are going to
no, yeah,
be
exactly.
Same.
No, yeah. Yeah. And if there had been something that I wanted changed, that's what I don't know, if I would have, you know, been able to tell them, hey, I don't like that. I don't know if they would They did change a few things. Like, the first version, the scars on his back weren't glowing. And then they decided, they said, hey, we're going to, for the official version of it, we're going to have it glowing so it's more paranormal and it stands out more. And I really loved that idea. So I'm not sure how much influence I actually had, but I loved it. And I wouldn't change a thing about it.
So when you're creating these Pinterest boards, do you feel like that was really a good tool for you to kind of visualize your characters? I mean, you have them in your head, but
all
visualize
the time.
them, and then of course maybe putting a timer on so you don't go down the rabbit hole of Pinterest boards.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Sometimes I forget to put the timer on so I end up on Pinterest for like hours, which is really bad. I don't suggest doing that. It's definitely, though, the having that there, because a lot of the times I forget, like, somebody's eye color or, you know, what kind of clothes they would have worn or their, you know, the way that they style their hair. So I go to Pinterest, which is where I save those kind of aesthetics. And I'm like, oh, that's a good way. And images really do help you describe something the way, you know, not just because I don't just have images. I save images of, like, the town that they're in or a house that they're going to be in. And it really helps me describe building or the kitchen or, you know, the place that they're driving to. It just really helps to have that kind of, and it's all in one place on Pinterest, which is beautiful.
Right. So you're not like, where did I see that again?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I have way too many recipes on Pinterest that I'll probably never ever get to, but it's that fear of, well, if I don't save it, I'll want it. So I better save it, and then I never look at it again. But it's there.
Yeah.
So my kids would have, like, amazing meals every day if I cooked off of Pinterest. Of course, I'd get no writing done, so whatever.
Right.
Live and learn. So you will be at the West Texas Writing Academy?
Unfortunately, no, I will not, because I do have to save up money for my school, and I'm also going to New York for the big national RWA conference, and I want to be able to,
right.
You know, I mean, it's New York. Come on.
Right, right. Will you be signing this year at the literacy signing on Saturday?
Yes, I will. That's what I'm really excited about, because I just got a box of our physical copies of our book, and I almost started crying because they look so real. It's crazy. So those will be there.
That is exciting. I mean, just to see them for the first time, it's just, and to hold that book, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So if any of you are listening and you're going to be in New York at the end of July or live near New York City, they will be a literacy signing with the Romance Writers of America. They will have it on Saturday the 27th. It's at the Marriott Marquis, right? It's still at the same place that lot of the conference is being held? Yeah. And it's in the afternoon. It's free to the public. So come on down and see all sorts of writers, a lot of whom we've had on the show. So super excited about that. But I am so thrilled for your success, and you've got your book out, you're working on your next book, you've got your thesis, man, you're just a busy girl.
I am very busy, yes, but I love it, because it's all good stuff.
It is, it is. So tell me, we have about 2 minutes left, tell me what is on your absolutely to-be-read pile right now?
Right now, my to-be-read pile, I'm actually well, for school, I do have to read Children of Time before I go to residency in June. So I'm excited to read that, because I think it's a science fiction. It's a really big science fiction novel, and I've heard really good things about it. As far as romance go, I really want to read the latest Cressley Cole book, which is one of the Immortals After Dark series. And I think it's about that Demon King. And I really want to read that, get my hands on it. And then there's other books by N.J. Walters I want to read. And I have not finished the Fiesta Love Story, but I'm really loving that one, and I'm going to finish it. So that one's definitely on the top of the pile.
Ah, wonderful. So if you're tuning in, remember I was talking to Arcee Alvarez, also Storm Navarro, and she has her new book out called Unchained Desires. It's by Entangled Publishing. And so you can get that now. She will also be signing at the RWA conference in July in New York City on July 27th down at the Marriott Marquis near Times Square. So, I mean, you just can't get any more writer-esque than that, you know? I mean, signing in New York City near Times Square. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Right.
So thank you so much for talking to us today, Storm. We're looking forward to seeing all your successes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Please come back when you got your next project going.
Of course.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.